Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Pelican Scoop, a hoop-ball.com presentation. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank, and I've got a very special guest today. I'm joined by the legendary, the fantastic, Elliot Clough from Pelicans Plus. Elliot, how are you going?
Lyle, I'm good, man. I might need you to introduce me every time I walk into a room everywhere. I think I'm going to hire you for that. I'm not going to be able to pay you as much as your lawyer gig, but I will pay you in appreciation. How's that?
Well, that's all I ask. You know, it is nice to feel wanted now and then. It's great. It's great. How's things? It's been a little while.
It has been a while. Things are going well. Pel's Pod is going well. Really enjoying my time with Boot Crew Media. I mean, like I said, back in my college town, calling some baseball games for the summer. So good stuff happening.
Yeah, it's all coming together, and a bit unlike the Pels, unfortunately. They sort of fell away towards the end of the season. I know we all live as Pelicans fans, the roller coaster that is the fandom of watching them, and the highs and the lows. We finished a meager 31-41 on the season. What was overall, let's go straight into that high level analysis. What did you think of the season?
You know, I think the disappointment by the fan base is warranted. I think a lot, the expectations were really high. Whether they were fair is one thing, but the expectations were high. I mean, I think we all largely thought they would at least get into the play-in. Like that was not unfair, but I mean, it's not like there weren't positives to be taken away. Zion continuing to look like a superstar, Jackson Hayes, Nikhil Alexander Walker developing. We finally got to see Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson together in a large sample size. But then you think about the fact that JJ Redick was awful. He did get traded, which was good. Got the real JJ in town. James Johnson was awesome. You think about the fact that the Pels moved off of Jrue Holiday and got in return Eric Bledsoe and Steven Adams. And those picks will ultimately help out, I believe, in the treasure trove of picks that they have. They'll be able to acquire somebody, whether it's a superstar, whether it's a star, that will be determined. But ultimately, I think you got to be disappointed but hopeful is the way to look at this season and going into next, especially.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think you know, the expectation coming in changed throughout when we saw them play their best basketball. I mean, coming in, I think we were like, oh, we don't know what they're gonna look like. And then they went and got Steven Adams, they went and got Eric Bledsoe, both come with this hype of a defensive I suppose anchors at either end of the court. And not either position of the court, the point guard and the center position. I mean, there's obviously Eric Bledsoe became a bit of the whipping boy throughout the season, and
rightfully so.
And you know, he didn't really perform to probably what the hype and the all defensive second team expectation was. Steven Adams, I felt though, went through. He was like the most important player. And then everyone sort of caught up to him. And as the injuries set in for him and the minutes sort of reduced and the other guys started performing, Billy Hernan Gomez, Jackson Hayes started developing, people soured on him as well. And I don't know whether or not the memories were that long, because there were some games where he was absolutely winning them for us.
Yeah.
And was a difference maker. But those two acquisitions especially, what do you rate them as in getting brought in and their contributions this year?
Well, I think that we can gather that Eric Bledsoe, at least he appeared that he didn't want to be a Pelican. So whether or not he's had some real intangible impact on this team, we know Josh Hart told everybody to shut the fuck up when they were, you know, giving him a hard time. Everybody was giving him a hard time. And some of these other guys stood up for him too. Kyra liked him a lot. So, I mean, maybe based on the intangibles, if he really provided anything to the team, the best I could give him is probably a D or a D minus. It was just an awful season. He did not contribute in any way, shape, or form that Pels fans were hoping he would. He was just awful. And in terms of Steven Adams, you know, the pay grade isn't necessarily something that a lot of fans like either, considering in terms of statistics, Billy Hernan Gomez was able to be serviceable and fill that void. And Jackson Hayes looks like he could be a star. Like, Jackson Hayes looked freaking awesome at the end of the season. He's not fouling near as much. His fundamentals are there. Obviously, his athleticism didn't leave. He's starting to show some progress in terms of shooting. So, but on the other hand, you did say Steven Adams filled some pretty good spots this year. I mean, he basically was, I wouldn't say he was the reason that they beat the Sixers at one point in the season or the reason that they beat the Nuggets at one point in the season, but not a lot of guys are going to be able to defend Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic the way Steven Adams did this year. So I would say, you know, it's that one's the tough one. I want to say a C or a C plus because people like to say, oh, spacing is the problem with Steven Adams. Can't have him down there. But spacing's not really the problem. It's shooting. The Pelicans just didn't have any shooting. The amount of spacing can be created via screens. And what he does, I mean, his rebounding is huge. His defending of those big guys is huge. But if we were to, the Pelicans were to ship him out, I think in exchange for a guy who can be good enough to protect the rim, but also shoot a little bit, I'd probably take it. So I'm going to go ahead and say a C or a C plus.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think both of those hit the nail on the head. I mean, I reckon a lot of the animosity came from the fact that he was extended before he'd even played a game. And, you know, that, you're paying him $17 million or whatever it is. And, you know, it's one of those things you've got to pay someone. you can't, right. Otherwise, you're going to hit the cap floor and have to pay everyone. I mean, we're not, probably not that likely now that we've got Brandon Ingram on the max and the like. We're a lot closer to the cap now, but disappointing to say the least, I think, particularly after the new year. Last year, we sort of went the other way and had that big 15 winning streak, and all of a sudden it was on, and we're like, yeah, we're winning the championship. And then we come to this year, and, you know, it really was up and down. I think how much importance do you put on the fact that this was a shortened season? There was no training, there's a no coach, new team. There's a lot of factors that went into this.
Right. And people like to compare the situation to the Knicks. And it's really not comparable because it's because they had a new coach. Like that's what people want to compare them to. And that's why. And, or like the Hawks. But the difference is continuity on the roster. The Pelicans virtually had a completely new roster. Zion Williamson had played, what, like 20 games prior to this season? So that's a completely new addition, basically, on top of getting Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, some of those end-of-the-bench guys, you know, Wenyen Gabriel, bringing guys like that in too. And you move Lonzo Ball from pretty much strictly point guard to a perimeter guy, a shooter, a 3-and-D player. And then, I mean, I talked about this with Jamel McMillan. I think it was late last year when I had him on my podcast, former Pelicans assistant, son of Nate McMillan. And what Stan Van Gundy had to do when he came into town, when he came into New Orleans, was completely tear everything from the top to the bottom down. A lot of bad habits were on this team from last year, especially defensively. And we started to see the defense pick up towards the end of the season. I think they were first for like a 6-week period towards the end of the season or something like that. Yeah. That's not exact, but we saw that continue to develop. You know, Stan Van Gundy's an old school guy too, and apparently that hasn't been vibing with the roster, whether or not those rumors are all that accurate. There's just a lot to be taken into consideration in going into this season with COVID, with the lack of practice. In the second half of the season, Lyle, do you know how many practices the Pelicans had in the second half of the season?
Oh, just something bizarre, wasn't it? Like 2 or 3 or something, like if that.
It was 12, but
I was going for hype factor.
that's still nothing. With that young of a roster, that is zero. How much can you do in small sessions like that? In at the beginning of the season, these guys were only getting 15 minutes of film session. 15 minutes. These guys haven't been playing basketball for more than what, like 15 years? And yes, that's a long time, but seriously playing it for 2, 3, 4 years? How much, and you can't even get into your body. You can't create those habits in your body of making recognition on the floor and making that muscle memory something that you can rely on when you're not able to do it in practice or on the floor on a regular basis, because you're trying to win. You're not trying to learn games. You're trying to win games, right? And when the opportunity to learn is in practice more frequently than it is in a game when you have a bunch of young guys who are all making mistakes, right? So there's a lot to be taken into consideration. I am not one to say, fire Stan Van Gundy, fire Stan Van Gundy after one season. Like if the players don't vibe, well, they'll actually get some time to work with him this year. They'll hopefully get a legitimate roster that can win some games. And, you know, losing is frustrating. So that isn't that big of a deal to me to have that internal, whatever it is, friction with the team. So there's a lot to be said, but that doesn't make this season any less urgent after this last year where the season didn't turn out quite the way a lot of us wanted it to.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's a big takeaway is that all it has done is burned another season that, you know, these guys have burned, you know, but, you know, it's another one where perhaps they've out from the outside, maybe they've underperformed. I mean, really, probably internally, you know, you're looking at a second year of a rebuild, first year with a new coach, new team again, and you've got Zion who's, I mean, he's only in his second year as well. He'll be heading into his third. He'll start getting paid. He'll be eligible for the extension at the end of this year or next year coming. So, I mean, the clock's ticking in terms of that because putting pieces around him, you know, we're going to be pushing up well towards the cap, if not over it, if we're extending him as well. His extension will then kick in. Then we'll have BI's extension as well. All of a sudden you're paying, what, 50-odd million for two guys. Well, they're not bad pieces at all, and I'd be happy to have a couple of young all-stars like that. You can get a sense of urgency from the team. I also don't discount the fact that these guys have had to be on top of each other for, I don't know what, 10 months or something, like just in each other's pockets all day. There's not this, you know, ability to just have a couple of days off and, oh, okay, we'll see you on practice on Wednesday and we played on like Monday, you know, and you get a day away from each other. It has literally been game, 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 training, game, game. And what do they say?
And testing
in the morning.
At
yeah.
7 a.m. 7 a.m. every day. Your flight gets in at 3 a.m. You got to wake up, do testing.
It's just unbelievable. It's like, I don't think we can comprehend how tiring and dragging that must be to just live in this constant, you know, testing, bubble, media spotlight, you know, game. Yeah. What I remember Zion saying in one of his press conferences, what do you do in your time off? He says, I just eat and sleep. And, you know, I can imagine it because you'd be in 4 different time zones, you know, sleeping, eating, trying to recover from a basketball game to get ready to play again.
Exactly. And like Brandon Ingram, like that dude is the introvert of all introverts. Mm. He just needs time by himself. And these guys are together constantly because of that, having to get up, go. And on top of that, like you said, eat and sleep, the ability to recover when you're not only traveling, but playing the highest level basketball in the world. Oh my gosh. Like, I mean, it's amazing. More guys didn't have season ending injuries this year. I know there were a few. Jamal Murray. That's the one I can think of off the top of my head. Mm. Who else got hurt this year, Lyle?
Oh, jeepers. Now I'm on the spot. There's a few. What are the big names? Gosh, it feels like forever ago.
Yeah. I'm doing a Google search Anthony right Davis. Now.
Constantly getting injured, you know, Joel Embiid, you know, Ben Simmons was off for a lot of games. Even in our team, you know, guys like Steven Adams missed games, Zion, B.I., down the roster, guys missed games throughout the journey.
And Spencer Dinwiddie tore his ACL this year. Right. J.J. Redick's old and very, very easily injured. Kelly Oubre's been out for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
Serge Ibaka. Victor Oladipo.
Oh, yes, that's right as well.
A lot of names. And honestly, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but that was OKC trying to tank. So can't take that into too much consideration. But I'm honestly surprised more players weren't hurt and more players didn't miss time this year.
Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable that they have managed to stay healthy. I mean, I don't even know how they perform. Like, I can understand when these guys are on a road trip and then play like absolute, I don't know, crap on some of these games. Because, I mean, I don't know how, if I got off an airplane, I'd be able to play basketball straight away. I feel like absolute ass when I get off an airplane. You know, it is. It is just the worst feeling. And these guys are just living on them. There's a lot of factors that go into this. One of the bright sparks of the season, I guess, was the symbiosis, I guess, with Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. At times, it just looked like absolute magic. At other times, of course, there was some teething issues. Brandon Ingram pretty much had to change where his whole shot selections came from. There was a lot less at the rim, a lot more in the mid-range. How did you find that combination worked on the field? And do you think it can continue to thrive?
Yeah, and I think you could honestly put a little bit of that on Steven Adams, too, with the clogging of the lane, because Zion is such a dominant force down low that it's tough to continue to play with a big like Steven Adams. It just is. Like, you can give him the props that he deserves with defending those big centers, but also consider where he's going to make the team struggle a little bit. But Zion and B.I., that pairing, I think we saw the epitome of what it can be in like that Sixers game and then that Celtics game when they came back from down, whatever it was, 26-28, the biggest comeback in team history. And it was even tougher when Brandon Ingram was the only guy who could hit a jump shot this season. You know, I mean, Nickeil Alexander-Walker towards, you know, before he got hurt, that last little bit, he was just lights out. That was the best we've ever seen Nickeil Alexander-Walker play. And that helped out so much. Brandon Ingram, it's just so tough to really gauge and say, you know, they're going to be awesome or it's a horrible fit. It's not a horrible fit. You're going to figure it out. These are two superstars that love the game of basketball. They're going to figure it out. Like, there's no reason to blow this up. There's no reason to trade Brandon Ingram. I mean, we've been seeing a bunch of trades on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen the Boston blow up since you woke up this morning.
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, I won't spoil it for you, but people are talking about trading for Jaylen Brown and giving up Brandon Ingram in the process. And with all the picks and the young assets, the Pelicans don't have to do that, nor should they do that. So I'm all for the fit. I think you, if you get Steven Adams out of the middle, it fits even better. And if you get a spacing five or even play a little bit of small ball and get somebody just that is a four, but can fill that void of a five and shoot the basketball, that fit just continues to get better and better. And I said that spacing isn't necessarily the problem. Shooting is the problem, but spacing does make it a little bit better when you do have shooting. So I think the fit is there. It's just tough when BI isn't making shots, and it's tougher when you don't have other shooters around. Najee Marshall was an incredible find. Might be the highlight of the whole season. Probably not, but it's up there. Getting him on that cheap contract was up there too. But the dude can't really shoot all that well. And, you know, Josh Hart, when he was healthy, he's an okay shooter. There's no really great shooters on this team besides Brandon Ingram and Nikhil Alexander Walker when he had that little stretch. So you add shooting and the fit just continues to get better and better.
Yeah, I mean, you can see guys like, especially watching the playoff games, guys like Reggie Bullock, who just are an absolute bucket. And you're sitting there like, they got these. This guy dirt cheap. He was like a scrap heap player, just like sort of ticking along, middle of roster guy. And Knicks are like, yeah, all right, we'll just turn you into this sniper. We'll use your ability to shoot and defend, like exactly what you want. Tom Thibodeau's like, yep, you're playing.
Had the Pels got Alec Burks, this season would have been completely different.
That guy's a weapon. That Atlanta Knicks matchup at the moment is just awesome fun. That is just great.
Freaking phenomenal. It's been a blast to watch.
Yeah, that is and you're watching these guys, you're like, where are they been? Why aren't we getting them?
Right.
You're exactly right. I mean, the shooters is going to be a really big thing. I agree. I don't think we blow up this BI Zion matchup. I think you've got two guys under the age of 24 or whatever they are, 23 and 20 or whatever. They've hardly played one season of basketball together. They probably still haven't now that they've had the injuries towards the end of the season. You know, there's a lot there. We're only scratching the surface. And as Zion expands his game as well, BI will continue to expand his game. I agree there needs to be more spacing. Perhaps Jackson Hayes with this, like, three-point shot that has just come out of nowhere. I mean, that's some sort of, like, 2K development. Like, honestly, he went from – I had a podcast at the start of the season where I was like, he needs to be benched. I just went off on this poor young guy. I look back now, I was like, that's so rude. But, you know, and I've apologized profusely on other episodes since then. But when he was benched earlier on in the season, I think it was December – It is all in the head. And all of a sudden, it clicked. And his defensive mentality changed. You know, he stopped getting put on an island as much, getting caught in no man's land when they were driving over the top of him. And even his defensive mentality to come over and do that weak side help where he flies over the top and blocks the living daylights out of people. That's what I want to see. And his ball handling, What do you mean? Where's that come from?
It's going to be so fun to watch him in the summer league. He's probably not going to play a lot, but he might be like a primary ball handler in the summer league. That's scary. So sick. I'm so excited.
Yeah, he's honestly, and I actually liked seeing him play a bit of the four as well. There were some periods where he played in that four spot and with Zion on the court as well. And that looked like a legitimate lineup. Even with like a Billy or Steven on there, you know, he can shoot a little bit. And if that continues to develop, you know, Jackson Hayes, Griff must be sitting there going, I told you, you just had to wait. Yeah. I told you. But looking forward to that. So Jackson Hayes, his development, huge. Comments, thoughts? What do you think of his season?
Well, when he hit that first three, and I don't remember what point that was. I think that was in a fairly competitive game as well. I think the entirety of Pelicans Twitter just collectively went, holy shit. like what? And then he had that 3-for-3 game at the end of the year. And man, there's a difference between, man, the fact that he became an energy guy off the bench, one. Two, the fact that he has got some defensive fundamentals now. Three, he's developing his basketball IQ. And all three of those things are great. But the fact that he is making threes on not a completely regular basis, but enough to get us a little excited is just freaking mind-blowing. If there's anybody on this roster probably besides Zion, maybe beside, I wouldn't probably give Na an A or Najee Marshall. I'd give Najee Marshall an A for the season, but Jackson Hayes, the only reason I wouldn't give him an A would be the first portion where he got benched, because that was awful. I was right there with you. I think we were all calling for Billy Hernan Gomez minutes at that point in time. And Jackson just took all that negativity and the fact that he was benched and just ran with it. I mean, he, in a sense, became a man before our eyes. He started taking criticism. He started taking these negative comments and said, you know what? Maybe you're right. I'm going to get better. And he did. And that is a massive step for a kid his age. Absolutely an A, 100% for Jackson Hayes for me.
Yeah, the development. I love to see that. And you know, it's always talked about how he played only 2 or 3 years of actual organized basketball before coming in. And I don't think people understand how difficult that is to now be playing in the NBA when you haven't played it as a child and growing up playing basketball, learning these fundamentals. He's basically learned it all from scratch, and now he's hitting threes in an NBA game at 7 feet.
That's insane. It speaks to Coach Daniel House, too, what he's done with Jackson, because, I mean, he gets a few shout-outs here and there, not quite to the degree that Fred Vinson does, because Fred Vinson is a god among men in New Orleans, obviously. We all know that. Yes. But Coach Daniel House has been huge for Jackson Hayes and what he's done for him. And this is another reason we can't, you know, jump on the fire Stan Van Gundy train, because he's done a lot and his staff have done a lot for the development of these young guys. It's not all negative. It's not all bad on the Stan Van Gundy train and with the Pelicans this year. There's been some pretty damn good stuff, i.e. what we've seen from Jackson Hayes, because we all knew this was a possibility. We just all talked about him as a high ceiling center. He can do all this stuff, but he's not putting it it's not coming to fruition. He's not putting it into practice. But now we saw it, and it's tangible, and it's there. We didn't have that last year, not even close.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And watching this development it's been fantastic. Nikhil was another one. We slotted in when he slotted into the starting lineup with the Lonzo injuries. The guy was dropping like 30s. He was hitting buckets. He is a bucket. Like, honestly, this guy is a scorer. And as soon as he moved off the ball, I thought he became even better. I think as soon as he didn't have to initiate the offense, the guy looked really good. And I think 18 points when he was starting, I think, was his average. You know, that looks like a genuine player. And I love to see Nikhil's development.
You know, it's not the worst thing in the world to put the ball in his hands you know, on a few possessions. He's a combo guard, but he, in essence, he is a two guard. That's what he is. He is phenomenal off the ball. I wish we could have seen. There's one thing in terms of basketball. Obviously, I would have loved to see the Pelicans in the play-in, but this season I would have loved to see more Lonzo and Nikhil backcourt.
Yep.
Golly, get Eric Bledsoe the frick out of here. Let's see a little bit more of that. I don't know how many people wanted that, but I sure did. I mean, Na has been watching Manu Ginobili film for a long time. And if he can fill that sort of role with the Pels and be an off the bench sort of scorer, or ultimately start and be a bucket, a shooter for this team too, and a shot creator for that matter. I mean, when Zoe, Steven, Zion, and Brandon were all out, Nikhil was the only real shot creator on the team that was left. And so, I mean, he's just developed. He's gotten so much more confidence in his game now, too. This is another young man who's grown a lot in a year. You know, I think Nikhil was in a spot where he was just a little bit more mature than Jackson coming out of college, because I think he's 22 now, 23.
Yeah.
And so he had a little bit, you know, more life experience. It maybe had run into a few more obstacles before Jackson Hayes. So that might be a factor, but Na has just really solidified into a role and shown what he can be. Do I think he's going to be a future all-star? No, but he's a scorer, man. And he's a great perimeter defender too. Yeah. His ability to deflect passes, it's awesome. He's been great. It's just about, I think he needs to get a little bit stronger. He's kind of a string bean.
Yeah.
He's,
you know, but a few of those.
Yeah, he's not quite Alexei Pokuševski, you know, but he has developed a lot. And I would probably give him a B or a B plus, probably a B plus for the season that he gave the Pelicans. And had he not gotten hurt, I think we'd be talking about the Pels having made the play-in right now. I really do.
Yeah. And, you know, another couple of guys that we brought in or that joined the team, we've sort of mentioned them, Najee Marshall and also Wenyen Gabriel, two different trajectories, but both, I suppose, almost cult favorites now in Pelicans land. I mean, Najee Marshall, that where'd he come from? That guy is just an absolute gun. And the fact he wasn't drafted, is that purely because of his age? Like, that is, he's a freak. He's a great player. And I think listening to the Pelicans broadcast, you hear this, Antonio Daniels, fantastic color commentator. He said, this guy's still a rookie, you know, and that's something that he doesn't look like. It looks like he's been around the league for 10 years. If you told me Najee Marshall had been playing in the NBA for 10 years, I wouldn't have an issue with that at all. I'd be like, oh, yeah, nice. Haven't heard of him, but he must have been around.
Yeah,
but right. Fantastic season. Wenyen Gabriel, of course, a little bit different. Rode the bench, dealt with the injuries early on in the season. But one of those guys that persistence and patience pays off, because towards the end of the season, he was playing some good basketball. And I think we saw why we picked him up. And perhaps into the future, we might see a little bit more of him. What did you rate those two guys?
Najee's an A. That's just the easiest grade you can give anybody on the roster. And you got to give the props to the front office for that too, because getting him on a two-way deal, I remember.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think we were about halfway through the season when there are some injuries popping up. And Najee got the start. And I don't know what Pel's Twitter reacted, how they reacted exactly. I don't really remember. But myself, I saw that graphic and I was just like, why? what's the plan here? Like, it was just weird. I mean, a two-way guy who we've barely seen, maybe some garbage minutes. I mean, he's probably going to have a bunch of turnovers, be nervous, all that. And, you know, those first few games weren't great, but once Najee got comfortable, he was a top 2-3 defender on this team. I mean, what he's done and the contract that the Pels got him on too. I got this quote from Ryan Herbert, and I put it in an article that I got on BootCrewMedia.com about Najee. This could be a Lu Dort type payoff. You know, he might not be Lu Dort, but he's 6'7" and longer than Lu Dort, and he's an irritant. And I mean, having 6'7" wings on your roster doesn't hurt. And we saw that he and Fred Vincent are going to be spending a lot of time together this offseason, those two, and then Didi Luzada as well. And that's going to be massive as well. That's going to be huge. Najee took a calling to the starting lineup, not only the starting lineup, but playing significant minutes, and he got it. I mean, this is the American dream, right? This is the dream in general for every probably two-way player in the league. Man, I got consistent minutes and I made the most of it, and I'm going to make some money and probably set up my family for the rest of their lives. And man, like he looks like he's 30, but he's 22 going on 30, right? So great stuff from Najee. And then I'm pretty sure I'm the cult leader for the Wenyen Gabriel. Wenyen Gabriel cult. But you know, the fact that he didn't get any minutes over Nicolo Melli before Melli was traded, I was saying this, and then some of the bigger media guys, you know, the Will Guillories were tweeting about it too. And I was like, I've been saying this for 6 months. Come on. So, you know, I'm really glad that he got those minutes at the end of the season and made some shots and really stepped up. And on top of that, you know, we saw him in the bubble last year. He was kind of the Anthony Davis irritant for the Trailblazers in that first playoff series. And that's why I wanted him on the Pelicans. And if he can be anywhere near what PJ Tucker was for the Rockets for a long time in terms of being a corner shooter, I mean, you got what you signed up for. The Pelicans have him on a team option for like $1 million next year. And so why not bring him back? Like, you have him healthy. Stan Van Gundy's seen him. Obviously, you want to go out. You want to get pieces. You want to get shooters, maybe even make a trade. And if you have to include Wenyan, you know, I wouldn't be happy about it. But if you got to do it, you got to do it. But if you can bring him back, man, I'm all for it. I think he showed enough at the end of the season that he can be an occasional rotation piece, if not continue to develop and maybe not foul as much. He's a little bit erratic on the defensive end, but he is an irritant. And he's long, and he's not afraid to mix it up. So I think they were both great this year.
The thing that draws me to both of those guys is that they both play hard. You know, when Wenyan came
every
on.
Every night.
Yeah.
Every night, there's no matter what.
Off with those guys. And maybe that is because they're playing for their, I suppose, basketball lives. But at the same time, the energy, I think, at times with the team was really low. And we've talked about that. You know, there's a whole heap of factors that go into that. But when these guys came off the bench, they played like there was nothing else that mattered in the world than them performing. And I suppose for them, you know, a couple of $1 million, you know, I'll be playing pretty hard as well. But, you know, it's great to see those guys step in, and perhaps Stan looks at them and goes, well, these are a couple of guys that could be part of the future. They're in the right age bracket. They're at a like really palatable price point, and they play hard. And that's, I think, a big thing that Stan Van Gundy preaches, is that if you can play hard, you've got a spot in the rotation. And, you know, I think at times the guys that we shipped out in the mid-season trade probably didn't play as hard as they could have. And there may have been an attitude thing as well. And we've seen that in a few different publications since then. from one in particular.
Including one's own podcast. Sheesh. Golly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, use your platform.
Right, I guess.
yeah, it's difficult. And, you know, when you get rid of those guys, all of a sudden you bring in some genuine hard nuts, I guess. You know, Jay Johnson, the real JJ, as you said, right. instant impact. Wes Iwundu, I can see the potential with him. I mean, whether or not he sticks around, you can see why he's an enticing prospect. He's rangy, has a bit of athleticism, has absolutely no jump shot whatsoever.
Yep, zero.
He's still looking for that. There's not one there. But if he could get even a serviceable one, he turns into a bit of a 3-and-D guy. Especially if he learns out those intangibles on the defensive end.
A Josh Hart type.
Yeah, 100%. Because he runs the floor really well. He's long, and he's a bit of a disruptor, exactly like Josh Hart. And if you can keep him, and if you can see enough, and then Josh Hart, you know, he's getting paid, do you weigh that up? Do you say, do we already have guys like Josh Hart? It's difficult. I think... what is it like that recency bias comes in? You know, we didn't see a lot of Josh Hart since he got injured. All of a sudden you're like, oh, we can do without him. But at the same time, he was the heart and soul of the team, you know, to use that pun that I use in every second episode. Josh Hart, what was his impact? What do you reckon?
Yeah. Well, you know, in terms of replacing him, I lean more towards probably Najee than Wes. I'm completely okay with moving on with Wes. I've seen enough of that guy. You know, if he can put in some work this season, the Pels like what they see from him, by all means, whatever. But I've seen enough. I had the little bit of excitement, you know, the newness when he was brought onto the roster, and he got a little bit of playing time along with James Johnson, but I don't think he's got much of a career left other than people saying, hey, he's long. Hey, he's a disruptor. Maybe we can bring him in. You know, I don't see much of that sticking around. I think he'll make it with the Shanghai Sharks. He'd be awesome over there.
He would be that length.
I think. Yeah. Josh Hart is, I think we've seen what he is. I don't necessarily see him, you know, getting a whole lot better. He was pretty old when he got drafted. Not that that's bad. I mean, he's a good NBA player. And I think somewhere we'll pay him probably, you know, $15 million, $12 to $15 million probably. Mm. And I don't think it's worth that because you got Najee, because you got Didi on the roster. You know how, I don't know how much Didi's going to play coming up here, but we've seen how fun he can be defensively. That dude, you know, they talk about active hands on defense. He's got that, but he's also got active feet. The amount that I've seen his feet go like this is crazy. But it depends on the price point for Josh. If he wants to stick with the other, you know, LA guys, Brandon, Lonzo, and if Lonzo comes back for that matter, then, you know, if you can pay him an $8, $9, $10 million, I don't know that he's going to go for that. But if you can pay him that sort of money and he wants to come back, sure. Yeah. But I mean, you're not going to break the bank for Josh Hart. You're just not. Like, you can find a Josh Hart in the draft. I mean, in terms of what he brings to the team, again, in terms of intangibles, I think Josh is a really good guy. I really like Josh. He's become a fan favorite for a reason.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with moving off of him too. I'd probably give his season like a B minus just because, you know, he was there. He was Josh Hart. You know, he might have won a few games in terms of rebounds and what he did against Jason Tatum in those Celtics games. He was great. But is that enough for you to pay him, you know?
Yeah, you've got to weigh that up. And I think we saw that in the offseason that they didn't come to the table. And I think there was a discrepancy of $6 or $7 million. And if that's not enough, you know, you're sitting there going, well, if you're not happy to open the bag for an extra $6 million, then what are you happy to pay? Do you know what I mean? Like, the writing's a bit on the wall. And I think with him and Lonzo both fighting for their contract careers, or the next contract, you know, the price point, whether that's a $20 million or it's a, you know, 10 or even eight, they were really playing for the bag, I guess, this season.
Right.
Speaking of Lonzo, one of those, I suppose, narratives that ran along the whole time. What's he going to do? You know, I even went on a different podcast, a Bulls podcast, talking about Alonzo trade at a point that was this flip for Lauri Markkanen. I'm now way out on that. Do not do that. And I was not suggesting that, I'll say. I had to go and explain why they would want Lonzo. It was a bit of a sales pitch for him, but then he started playing really well and I backtracked and had to call a whole heap of people, said, no, don't stop the press.
Yeah.
what have I done? But Lonzo, he's a bit of an enigma. He's a bit of the barometer as well. I don't know. Do we hold on to him? How much are we willing to pay him if we do?
Look, man, you know, we just haven't seen it on a consistent enough basis. Like, he'll have these months and these stretches where he's shooting 45% from three, and he's a really good defender, consistent defender, 6'6", long. He can guard point guards. He can guard threes. And I think his value comes most on the defensive side of the floor, at least in terms of consistency. On offense, though, man, we're just not seeing it on a regular basis. Honestly, I'm kind of tired of these Lonzo stands. Like, see you later, you know. In all reality, you know, I just don't see him being worth anything more than, you know, 15, 16 million, because you haven't seen it consistently. If he was more consistent, and, you know, he's asking for what, 18, 20 supposedly is the rumor.
Yeah, there it is.
I mean, if he was more consistent, you know, if he continued shooting, not even probably 39, 40%, 41% from three, I'd be much more inclined to say, you know what? Yeah, it makes sense. Keep them together. They like Lonzo. But if he wants that kind of money, somebody's going to pay him. New York would pay him. Charlotte would pay him. I don't know how much money Charlotte has, but somebody out there, you know, even if it's a poorly run team, I don't know, like the Kings or something, somebody is going to give Lonzo Ball the bag. Somebody will. And it shouldn't be the Pelicans. But if they can, you know, do some sort of sign and trade and include some picks and, I don't know, maybe get a De'Aaron Fox or something like that and bring him into New Orleans, I'm all for it. But I'm not for paying this guy $20 plus million. The payoff just wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, even if he develops, he becomes a above league average shooter. We've seen him hit 8 out of 9 threes and then hit none of nine the next game. Consistency has to be the key. And of course, that comes with development and the like, and there's a whole heap of factors as well that go into that. I always put a little disclaimer on things. Must be the lawyer in me. De'Aaron Fox would be handy. That'd be all right. I like that one.
Yeah, I'd go for that, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all. But it's one of those things that you've already seen what these guys do when they play together. And where did it end us up? 11th. We didn't get any higher. He doesn't move the needle in the end.
He
which is
can make
difficult.
a good team great, but he can't make a bad team good a great. I mean, or good. I mean, he
Yeah.
can. It's a bad team's going to be a bad team with Lonzo Ball.
Yeah,
If he
I
were to
agree.
join, I don't know, maybe like the Mavericks or something, he could make them good. He could make them pretty damn good, but he can't make this. He can't bring this team to another level. And his ability as a point guard to initiate the offense. It's just he's not great in the half court. He's just
Yeah.
not as much as people, as much as Lonzo stands want to say, give him the keys, give him the keys when Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram are on the roster. It's not going to work. It's just, I mean, if you want to give him the keys, give him the car too and send him out of town, Like it's just not going to work. I mean, we want to see more of Point Zion. We want to see Brandon Ingram. We want to see N'Keal. Lonzo's just not going to do it, man. He's just not going to move the needle for this team.
Yeah, completely agree. And if we can get him at a reasonable thing, about 15 million, I reckon, yeah, no dramas. If it means that Brandon Ingram stays happy, because I know they're all come down together, the LA guys, that needs to be the mentality, is that how much is Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson's happiness? That should be the only consideration in terms of, to a point. You can't just go and say, oh yeah, we're going to give him 25 million because BI
Right.
needs to be happy. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen. But
Right.
if it's coming up 2 million and giving the bloke, all right, we'll give him 15 and a half, 16 million, 17, probably the max, if we're going to pay Steven Adams that. If it means that BI then goes, oh yeah, well that's all right then, that's good. I'm happy where I am. I'm comfortable. Then you hold on to him. But otherwise, because I mean, a contract like that's palatable for other teams as well. If he doesn't perform, you just flog him off. People are still going to buy him. It's a real tricky one, and it'll be interesting to see what we do. Sign and trade, I think, would be the best outcome, because then you're actually getting something for him. And I mean, then if someone, we just don't know whether or not they're going to throw a max offer sheet at this guy. Like, someone might just go like balls to the wall and throw an absolute bag at him, say, here's the max, and
Like,
some
I
trouble.
mean, the Knicks were good this year, but they're still the freaking Knicks. Like, I would not be surprised if they did that at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. No, I think you're spot on. And I mean, even though they've got this Quigley who looks like he could be a really, really good player, Derrick Rose has just turned over a new leaf again. He looks fantastic.
He's back.
I know. Was it the Godspeed tattoo? I love that. I mean, that's flash. He's been playing really well. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I suppose a little bit of a underperformance, I suppose, for the season. What do you want for this off season? What do we need? If we're going to the shops to go and get some players, what do we need? We need a few different skill sets.
Well, I think Griff hit it on the head, right? He said IQ, toughness, and shooting. And to add to that from the fan base, it's defense. And
Yeah.
now to check all those boxes in one offseason is quite a task. I don't know if they're gonna keep any of their draft picks. I hope not. This conversation, I just had Matt Babcock on my podcast from basketballnews.com, draft evaluator. He was awesome. And I could definitely all see, seeing it all be for naught. I would prefer that the Pelicans just pack up all the picks that they have this year, if possible, ship them out of town. Maybe these Lakers swaps, these picks and the Milwaukee picks in the future, and go out and get somebody. And who that is, I don't like to say that I think something's going to happen unless we hear an inkling of it. But in terms of what is needed, man, you know, there's a couple stars that are out there. I mean, you just got to look at these markets that are on the fringe of playoffs or on the fringe of maybe we should blow it up, i.e. the Pacers, the Kings, but that aren't young too, you know, like I'm trying to think of who else is around that. Spurs. I mean, they're never going to tank with Greg Popovich, right? But, you know, I think if you look at the Pacers and have the opportunity to get a Domantas Sabonis, that doesn't hurt. You have the opportunity to get De'Aaron Fox from the Sacramento Kings, who I would be very surprised if they want to part with. Or even like the Timberwolves, if they want to part with Cat, you're not getting much defense. You're not getting much, well, toughness or desire to win from Cat, at least in my mind's eye. And then there's Boston, who looked awful this year. Jaylen Brown, is he somebody you can get? The move or moves have to be big. That's the thing. If you can get three all-stars on your roster and you can't win, then you're doing a lot wrong. And so I think, you know, maybe not even an all-star this offseason, maybe somebody who's right on the fringes who can come up and be that. But if you can get three all-stars, New Orleans becomes a place where a free agent says, ooh, I could do a lot there. And without three all-stars, you know, it's still a small market. It's still New Orleans. You're not going to attract the free agents that you'd like to. And maybe you can get a shooter in the draft. Maybe you can get a defensive guy in the draft. Maybe you can. But the biggest guarantee, assuming that the Pelicans stick around that 10, 11, 12 in the draft, is a trade. That's your biggest guarantee in terms of making an acquisition that's going to help you in the offseason. I think there's some crazy scenarios. I mean, it all depends on if the Pelicans somehow luck into a top four pick. That would be nuts. If they can do that and possibly trade that pick for a player or, you know, multiple, it'd have to be multiple picks and, you know, assets as well, i.e. a contract like Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, hopefully, as Bled is an expiring, I mean, in effect, an expiring. But there are also teams out there that need a center like a Steven Adams. The Celtics come to mind.
Yeah,
the Hornets. The Hornets have horrible rim protection. Just awful. And I mean, if you can come away from a trade like that with a Miles Bridges, sign me up, dude. That'd be awesome. Is he going to fix all the problems the Pelicans have? No. But if you can come away with some up-and-coming players like that and then end up somehow getting an all-star too, might be the offseason of the century, right? I mean, I think it's – I haven't looked at free agents this coming offseason yet because I think those pillars sort of have to be crossed off or knocked down or whatever whatever the terminology is. You know what I'm talking about. I think it's going to come via trade. I don't think it's going to come via draft. It's definitely not going to come via free agency. This is the biggest free offseason probably in Pelicans history. Probably.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head with that. And it is going to have to be a trade. I don't think you're going to be able to move the needle purely with free agency. I think we need to offload at least one of two of the contracts of Bled and Steven Adams, preferably Bled. I mean, I think they kept him out there hoping that he would do something. It's like that meme where they're poking him with a stick, like, do something. You know, like, please, looking under the couch for some value. You know, he looked like a shell of himself. He really did. And I think it's an attitude thing as well. I mean, we've seen that in different stops throughout the journey. If he's unhappy, he makes it known. And whether that's on the court or off the court, I'm still furious about that game where we drew up a like final play for Eric Bledsoe. I just thought that was just the worst. The TV nearly got ripped off the wall that day. I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah.
That was no good. But
on top of that, what was it, like 14 games where the Pelicans had a lead of 10 plus and they lost? Like, you win half of those games and you're guaranteed a playoff spot.
Yeah. Well, what was it in that first something like 20 games? We'd given up two or three or four of those leads. And if you won those winnable games, all of a sudden you're on the second seed or something. It was just
That Pacers game.
Oh, no.
You know what?
That haunts me.
Hopefully we're not physically hurting all the listeners like we are right now. Funny part about that game is Miles Turner hit, I think, effectively either the game-winning shot or the shot that sent it to overtime. I don't remember. But it was like with 6 seconds left. Yeah. And like halfway through the third quarter or through the second quarter, I tweeted something like, if Miles Turner is shooting three-pointers, just let him shoot. And then one of my friends who covers the Pacers found that tweet and quoted it and said, huh, and it got like 100 favorites.
Oh.
Made me look like a dumbass.
Yeah. I mean, in that game, he had foul trouble too. There was no rhythm for him to hit that shot. We did everything right. We got him off the floor, and he came on and absolutely buried us. And they should never have been in that situation. That is, I think, the big thing for next year. I want to see finishing games. Because I saw some stupid stat that was like 99% of games this year or something where you were winning by 10 points, you won. There was like 14 or 15 of them, and the Pelicans had 13 of them. Like, it was, yeah. And the Pelicans had one where they came back from 10.
Oh,
it was some bizarre stat. Like, we had something like, yeah. 14 of these less than 10 point wins, and there was only 17 for the whole year or something. It was, yeah, no good.
No good
at all. So, I mean, closing games is going to have to be a big thing. Next season, I want to see Zion continue to expand his game, but I also don't want him to start settling for threes. I know when guys start getting a three-point jump shot, they then decide that all they're going to do is shoot threes and stop attacking the rim. I don't think his DNA is that he will do that, but and I don't think they'll let him do that. But, I mean, that is probably one of the things that, I'm getting slapped around in there a bit. Maybe I'll just settle. And that's going to have to be something that we'll have to manage.
NBA needs to start, officiating him fairly as well.
Yeah,
you know,
no good.
The injury that Zion incurred, I mean, it wasn't because of repeated, like Griff alluded to it being a repeated, it just wasn't true. What he said wasn't true, but it was a perfect opportunity to say, NBA, what are you doing? Do you want him to be a superstar? You put him on all these huge platforms. I mean, the Pelicans, they were not good this season, and they were on all these nationally televised games.
Yeah.
And then Zion gets hurt. Are you serious? Like, I mean, and you're not officiating him fairly. They sent the league film, which I knew about before everybody else did. I'm not going to tell you how, but I did. And, if you truly believe something, you're going to act it out, right? You're going to behave as such, right? The NBA wasn't doing that. Adam Silver needs to get these refs together and say, get it together. Get this right. Because this guy can be the face of the league. He can make us hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's paying your salary in effect.
Yeah.
So officiate him properly. I don't care if he shoots 20 free throws a game, because the way that Griff said that Zion said that somebody in the NBA told Zion, I'm just going to keep doing this because they're not calling it. Like, are you kidding me? What? That is a joke, and this is supposed to be the best league of basketball in the entire world. That is a problem that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, 100% agree. All right, Elliot. Before we pack up, we've had a good run. We've unpacked a lot. What do you want to see for this season? And then where can we find you? Some parting words, if I may.
Yeah. You know, I want to see a difference night in and night out in terms of consistency of effort. You know, this team objectively, you know, by record, by statistics, wasn't one of the best in the league this year. But if you bring consistency by effort, the Pelicans win a lot of games that they lost this year. And I want to see an increase in IQ. And I mean, you know, I want to see a better roster. I want to see a roster that fits around Zion and BI. I want to see some shooting. And I just saw that Marcus Smart might be available via trade, you know, like that would be a great person to have. Like Chris Connor of the Bird Rights likes to say, the Pelicans need an asshole, and Marcus Smart could be that asshole. So that's what I want to see from this season. In terms of following me, finding me, Elliot Clough at gmail.com at Elliot Clough.
You can email him too.
Yeah, that's my email if you want to hit me up. But my Twitter is at Elliot Clough, 1L1T, and then Clough is C-L-O-U-G-H, like rough and tough. You can find writing on bootcrewmedia.com, and then Pelicans Plus is anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, everything like that. So there you go.
Go and, guys, seriously, if you're not listening, then you're doing yourself a disservice. Go and listen, because it is fantastic show. All your writing, I fangirl every time we get you on. I reckon it's just fantastic. Elliot, thank you very much for joining us. It's been great to, I suppose, wrap the season up a bit. Like I said, I'd had a little bit of a hiatus between the Marvel game and now. So I appreciate you taking the time. And, thank you very much. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah, for sure, Lyle. I always enjoy talking to you, man. This was fun.
Thanks, mate. We'll talk to you next time. So thanks again to Elliot for jumping on board, guys. That was a fantastic chat. And, a bit of a longer episode today, but a good way to send off the Pelicans into the offseason. And we'll keep these coming. We'll try to get more guests on and chat more as this offseason progresses. As always, you can follow me at Twitter, at Lyle Swithenbank, LYLESWITHENBANK. Of course, at Hoopball Pels is the show. Guys, it's been fantastic recapping the Pels all year. And of course, I could not do it without all of your support, listening in every episode. And it's been absolutely fantastic. Another big season in the books. It's been really, really fun. Of course, if you'd love to go and thank the sponsors, go and support them at Manscaped, manscaped.com. Hoopball20 is the code, as it has been all year, HOOP20. That'll give you 20% off and free shipping. And of course, our good friends at mybookie.ag, use the code Hoopball when you sign up, get yourself a 50% deposit match, because you know it supports us. So, guys, enjoy the rest of the NBA finals. It's going to be all the playoffs, I guess, and heading into the finals, nearly at the end of round one. Loving all of the competition so far. It's been really good, but we'll keep this going and keep tuning in. We'll keep getting more guests on. We might get some guests from all over, whether it's basketball or not. You know, we did that off-season wrap last year and got a few different people in. We'll see if we can do that again, and we'll keep it going. But until then, and until I speak to you all next, look after yourselves, stay safe, and bye for now.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.